Welcome to The Grow Show, where we make it easier for entrepreneurs and leaders to grow their businesses. You'll hear from real leaders with real stories about their successes and failures so you don't have to make the same mistakes. We won't break out textbooks or talk theory, only raw stories from the front lines with actionable takeaways.
The Grow Show is sponsored by Heil Sound, world-class microphones for stage, studio, broadcast, and podcast. Find your sound at heilsound.com. Here's the next episode of The Grow Show.
Welcome back to another episode of The Grow Show. This is a different voice welcoming you, as you probably know, all of our loyal subscribers. Joined by only one partner in growth, Scott Scully.
What's going on, everyone?
We're missing another. We're missing the third leg of our stool.
We miss him. It's going to be a fun conversation today. He would enjoy being involved in today's topic for sure.
I think he would agree with the sentiment, with the topic, with all things. I got to tell you, no one is here, but the seating arrangement is different. I'm now looking Scott in the eye as opposed to looking at the timer, which is a whole different.
It's so much less stressful for you.
That is true. I am ecstatic, not excited. I'm ecstatic about today's topic. We've been waiting to go like more against the grain, I think.
Yeah.
Because we promote this show as a no textbooks, no theory, not all the consultants are right. This one, I think, hits that note, don't you think?
Yeah. Give it to them. What are we talking about?
We're going to talk today about why you should spend a whole lot more time as a leader or a CEO or a president working in the business than you should working on the business.
You let them have it. Contrary to what everyone in the world is telling them, get back in the business.
So I thought first maybe we could just do some basic definitions, a little housekeeping.
Okay.
What's the difference between working in the business practically versus working on the business? And Scott, what do you see when people are working in the business versus working on the business?
Yeah. Well, I think that the textbooks and the consultants would tell you that it is your job, as fast as humanly possible, to rise above, get out of the weeds, be able to look forward, and really consult and you know, work through your leadership team and build that leadership team. You know, in the beginning stages, I think that a founder is in the business, side by side, doing the work, showing people how to do the work, rolling up the sleeves, talking about where the business could go, right? Just kind of in there with people doing work. That's in the business. Mm-hmm. Working on the business is you're outside, you're no longer on the line, your sleeves are down, you're more administrative.
Your lunch is longer.
I certainly understand why people talk about getting outside and building a team and infrastructure. I just couldn't disagree with it more.
Okay. Tell it. So now we got the definitions.
Yeah.
Tell everybody. Keep going, though. Tell it. You couldn't disagree with them more. Tell everybody why.
Nobody knows the vision like you do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let's say you grow, like you're growing and there's layers of management now. And the first group that was with you happens here, right? They were there. They saw the first mistakes we made. They helped come up with solutions. They were part of formulating what the service or the product, you know, was in the beginning. They know you as an individual. They know that you're thinking about others, care about others. They know what the overall mission of the business is. They just feel connected and strong and tied in, and they know you And those people are going to carry that with them for a long time. Mm-hmm. You grow, then the next layer of management comes in, or group or level of you know, employees. And maybe they know you as well, but not quite as well. Maybe you're not working with them alongside those folks as much as you did the, you know, the next layer. Then the next one comes. They don't know you. You haven't worked with them. They don't know your bad jokes. I'm kidding. Jeff's kind of funny, actually.
Everyone knows my bad jokes.
But they weren't there when it started. Some of the vision is coming through your leadership, right? But they're not getting all of it. Some of those stories start like, hey, we created this because of this. Half that's not true. Right. And just the more you grow, the more disconnected things become, and people feel like, because that's what they hear. Well, I got to go up. And I've got my team, and it's their job to develop their team, and their team's job to develop the team underneath them. And it's like the whole phone game, right?
Yep.
Where the message gets distorted, the more people it goes through. It's the same thing in business. And when a leader gets outside of that, if they're not always willing to skip layers, take extended periods of time, listen to feedback, do the work with them, interact with customers, over time you lose your way. And I just think that we've been talking about it with our business, that we've grown rapidly and we've got to a point, and we're talking about some of our younger leaders. Some of our younger leaders weren't there. They don't know the stories.
No.
And how could we expect them to? Mm-mm. And it's our job to get out and get engaged with some of those folks and get them to realize what's going really well now versus the past, and remind them of the mission and talk to them about some of the new things that we're doing and we're involved in. They don't get to hear that, and it isn't going to be the same message coming from somebody else. I don't think you should ever work outside of the business, but that's my opinion.
You know, you said something about the expectation becomes you build a layer and you build another layer of leadership and management, and you work through those people. Mm-hmm. The other part of that is, I think people relax a little bit. They get used to working on the business, because mm-hmm. working on the business is kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, kind of working through others. You're not in the trenches. Maybe the micro numbers that really matter, you're not accountable to. You're accountable to a number that sort of trees up four or five different ways. Maybe your schedule isn't as tightly managed. You got more autonomy. You got fewer direct reports. You could think about the future. You could have time to whiteboard. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
And so as you're expected to go up and up and up and up, work through other people, then you compound that with, I kind of like this. Maybe I feel like I'm not doing as much. Maybe I feel like there's not as much pressure on me. I'm not having to be as regimented. There's not as much accountability. And that to me is, you have to feel that. You have to check yourself and go, wait a second, now I'm starting to be too removed. And that's not what this job is. I'm not going to be the best for my people or my team or my organization if all I want to do is work on the business, especially when you see problems.
Yeah.
When you see problems, and this is something that you have a choice. You can pull up your chair, bring your shovel, and dig in. And we'll get into sort of the tactically how, because I think you've got great thoughts on this, because people are going to go, well, how do I get back into the business? I have five layers of management or whatever. You can work through others. You can bring your shovel, pull up your chair, and dig in and go side by side, belly to belly, and fix it with people.
Yeah.
That's different.
Mm-hmm. I think what I've found a lot is, depends on the size, but a leader is not necessarily disenchanted with the layer that they're working with. It's the layer underneath the layer they're working with. right? And those are the folks that didn't kind of see it firsthand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where we're coming off the tracks a little bit is that, you know, for instance, if I'm reporting directly to you and then I have people that are reporting to me and those people weren't there, I was, I need to remember what you did and what we did and try to create the same experience for me. And honestly, I'd be tying you into that so that they knew you, they believed in where you were going, where you're taking us.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's where companies fail. That's where they don't continue to grow. The more disconnected the owner, the founder, the president, the CEO becomes, the more disenchanted people become. Things to fall apart,
mm-hmm.
get a little frayed, processes fall down, belief systems are you know, weakened. It's funny, right? We were having the conversation before getting on today. It's like if we were to pick one thing that we could work on and make sure that we do a really good job with in the next year to go to $100 million, let's go old school. Let's get back to it. Let's roll up the sleeves. Let's remind people what we're all about. Let's inform them of where certain things came from and celebrate successes that we've had along the way and get people super tied into the mission. No better way to do that than to sit right with them.
So you got some people listening now, founders, CEOs. They go, yeah, I like this. This is good. This mm-hmm. makes sense to me. I'm feeling a little disconnected. Things aren't happening the way I want them to. Tactically, though, Scott, like, what do I do? How do I work? What are some tips or things that you would recommend for me to work in the business as the CEO? What do I do? How do I do it?
Well, first of all, you're thinking, I can't do that. I've got 8 meetings.
Yeah.
And I have, I got to talk to the lawyer. I got to talk to the banker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or I've got a group of investors, or I'm accustomed to, you know, only working X amount of hours now. And so you're probably figuring out or thinking, how do I fit that into the schedule? And I guess what I'm suggesting is that none of those meetings that you're having currently are as impactful as a couple of hours with a group of your people, letting them get to know you, getting them believing in themselves, understanding the company, where we're going, growing. And that's what happens. It's like I've got my set meetings, and I think that that's how I'm having impact on the business. And I'm not thinking that if I have a whole team full of engaged people, everything else is easier. Like all the things that I want to have happen if I'm doing that work. And we forget that, you know, as we grow along. And it seems like we always end up back at this discussion. That's why I think it's important to get it out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
Stop getting out of the business.
So
get back in it, and you're going to go wherever, you're going to grow it wherever you want. The minute you get out of it, it didn't happen. Like, sure, someone could run it, get out, and it'll be what it's going to be, but it's never going to be what you can make it if you're in the business.
I'll give you one example that always, I get away from it too long, and then I get back to it and I realize, gosh, I should have done this. CEOs, owners, founders can take sales calls, can and should take sales calls mm-hmm. with some frequency, because it is so easy to go, sales should just be selling more. They should be trying harder. It's easy. Our product sells itself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go take a sales call. Go take a sales call. Go take a few. A, you're going to be able to sell better for the company. Just by the nature of your position, you're going to be able to sell better. You're going to be able to explain it to them better. There's just like authority that comes with you, CEO, owner, founder, president, whatever, selling. So there's that. That's not why you're doing it, but it helps. Nice mm-hmm. to get a deal or two. Second, you're going to get firsthand market feedback that you do not get, even if you're listening to recorded calls, there's something to it. And third, you're going to be able to relate to your sales team, your VP of sales, your sales manager better. if you're taking sales calls, because then you can say, wait a minute, that objection. No. I've been on these calls.
Right.
I've heard that objection. That's BS. Or no, that's not what people are saying. The only reason people are saying that is because we're not saying things this way. And you could sharpen your pitch and sharpen the pitch of the team. Owner, CEO, president, founder. Take some sales calls.
Yeah. Yeah, and you don't have to be the best.
No.
You're just doing it. Mm-hmm. There are three periods of time in our history where I went out onto our floor and I sat with individual sales managers that, you know, that ran a team. 10 people on a team, one manager, and they're responsible for fulfilling X number of our clients. And every time I went out, I sat on the team that was in last place. Now, there's things that I didn't have the technology to listen to their calls, so I could coach one way, but I wasn't necessarily hearing what the customer was saying. We could do that now, of course.
Yep.
We had converted to Salesforce, so I actually didn't run Salesforce before, so I wasn't bringing that knowledge, right? I just still don't. It's one thing I need to learn more about. And these teams were in last place. But guess what? I was there in the beginning. I know where we want to go. Super passionate about it. Couldn't feel any better about what we do as a service, so I believe in what they're doing. I've done that job before. I didn't have Salesforce, but I've done the job they're doing. I've been on the phone. I've sold. The only thing that I had was, hey, guys, you're super talented. I like to win. We have to come to work anyway. I'm assuming you'd like to win. We're winning this month. And they'd look at me like, yeah, right, we're in last place. Like, no, we're going to beat the shit out of every one of these other teams. That's the expectation. That's why you're here. You're super talented. That's why we hired you. That's what we're going to do as a team. Dish out a couple of extra responsibilities. You're doing this. You're doing this. Everybody's super tied in. We won every time. Like,
Hang on, though. Why was that? I mean, really, when you dig deep and you go, I didn't, by the way, for those, he said he didn't know Salesforce, like that's a trivial thing. That the entire foundation of the team that he ran was based on Salesforce. Like if Salesforce went down, there would be no work, right?
Right.
So how'd you do that?
Well, I know the process. I know what we built Salesforce to do. I know what a phone call looks like, should sound like. I know why we're doing it, the objections. But I think it was more that getting people to believe in what we do, why it's impactful for our clients, why the work's so important, why they're important, how they tie into the overall organization. What it could mean to them if they learn it and do well and serve the clients in the right way. And, you know, just getting them to understand over the course of a month who I am, what I believe in. I think they started to realize that I go people first. Like, I care deeply about people and where they grow and getting to new heights. I'm hard on people. But I think they understood why I was hard, because I wanted them to win as individuals and as a team. I set high expectations. I was exhausted at the end of every day, because not only did I set high expectations, but I held people to high expectations every single hour, all day, all month. But guess what? Every one of them was better at the end of the month. You know, they were on top. They felt successful. And a huge percentage of those people from all of those teams are here and they're doing things. And I think that that's because they had some success early on, which allowed, you know, made them want to stay a little bit longer. Then they started having more success and they understood right from the, I guess, founder's lips, why we started, where we're going, where we could go, what some of the possibilities are. And man, a lot of those people are doing big things here. So what would that have looked like if I said, Scott, every time you did that, that had a huge impact. Why the fuck did I stop that? Like, we always go back to it. Like, yep. What, now I got to go do that with the graphic design team. I got to go do that. I don't have to be a graphic designer.
Mm-hmm.
Or I got to go to the accounting department and spend a couple of days in there. Like, if they know you, they know you care, they know, they just know why they're super important, and they know you believe in them. And then you're there and you get them to some success and you celebrate that. That can last for a long time. Like, so as a CEO, why the hell would we do, like, that's what I've been thinking about over the last couple of days. Like, mm-hmm. what the fuck am I doing? Why do I do anything else?
Yep.
Because what I ultimately want is people to stay, lives to change, clients to be impacted, for our company to continue to grow. What, I got to go to my office and have another meeting? The hell is that going to do?
Yep.
As opposed to getting out and continuing to spread the vision.
Especially now.
Yeah.
With people remote.
Yeah.
You don't know. You're not walking around. Even if you weren't going to take over a team or take sales calls or manage a group, you used to be able to walk around and hear. Yeah. So-and-so would be making a call for collections. And you go, ooh, that's a little aggressive, or that's a little pat, or whatever.
Right.
Or so-and-so was doing a results meeting or a client meeting. And you go, ooh, I would have maybe chosen words differently. You can't have that. You can't have that. So as far away from the business as you were 3 or 4 years ago, you're twice as far away now, and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
And that is why, okay, so if you're another thought, maybe you're not going to go manage a team. You should and you could, but maybe you're not. Maybe that's
sit there with the manager.
Shadow.
Yeah. I didn't run them. I sat with the manager.
Yeah.
And all of those managers, that's not true. One is no longer with us. Mm. But two are here and doing wonderful things. And just sit on the team, be with the people, talk to them directly, see who's unplugged, plug them back in, like, care about them, love them, let them get to know you. Strengths and weaknesses. Shit, I've got all kinds of weaknesses. You know that. But if someone knows you're going to work just as hard as them, and you're going to always be there for them, then they're going to want to be in the trenches with you. They're going to trust you more. They're going to want to go where, you know, you're leading the organization. If the people don't have that experience with you, it's harder.
Yeah, I've always found, and we talked about this earlier, we had other people in the room and they echoed this sentiment. I've always found there's something about doing the actual work that people really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the work that's, you know, that someone who is an entry-level employee at your organization is doing. Scott, I think you talk about someone was laying the cable at a particular company or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, do the work. And I think people, you get to be higher up and you don't want to do the work. And I think a lot of the reason for that is you're out of practice and you think you'll fail at doing the work of an entry-level employee or a frontline manager. And here's the truth about that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you fail.
No.
What matters is that you do it, because they're failing every now and again. And they many people think those who can't do teach. You hear that all the time. Those who can't do teach. So this is someone who's super high up and they're just going to tell me in theory how I should do my job, having never done the job or haven't done the job recently. Go in there, sit with people, even entry-level people, frontline people, whoever it is, and do the work. Take the angry client. I got this angry client call.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this implementation for this new client to hear about their onboarding experience. I'm going to do the sales call. I'm going to do the collections call. I mean, you hear all the time, CEOs who take support calls. I'm going to sit on the support desk and take support calls for 2 hours. Do the work.
Like, go to sales, go to account management, go to operations, right? Go to marketing. Just go to IT. Just rotate through your departments. You're going to know better than we are, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if it's you can get a lot accomplished in a day or if it's a team you should sit with for a month. Mm-hmm. But if you're always doing that, then you're also getting first-hand look. And then when you're sitting with your top leaders, you know, you guys can have an even better conversation about what's going on in different parts of your business. And it's not coming, you know, a lot of times that'll come three levels up. Mm-hmm. The two of you sitting in your office don't even fucking know what's going on. Like, you two don't know what's going on. And the person underneath that person does, and it's really the person under that. And so, get out there collectively together at that level and take it on. Like, watch it. Listen. And you're going to be better. And the more removed you get, the worse off you're going to be.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you're going to find. Having some experience with this and some observations. And you got to figure out how you're going to deal with what you're going to find. What you're going to find, in my experience, is you're going to find processes that were designed sometimes by you or you were very close to that used to work great that now potentially don't work as well because they've been changed. And that's going to be frustrating. Mm-hmm. You're going to find people who are not as bought into the organization or as understanding of the organization as they otherwise could be. You're going to find frontline managers and newer leaders who you think are communicating in a certain way because you have training or leadership development or whatever that maybe still have a lot of development to do. You're going to find all those things and more. You're going to find places where you can add resources, where people need to be hired, or where you have too much. And that's the gold. Like, that's the gold of doing this, is you're going to uncover all these things. And you, unlike your leaders who are in charge of all of these areas directly, you have the power and the wherewithal and the resources to, like, make quick unilateral changes without bureaucracy that can help these people help your clients or help these people have a better experience. And that, and you can't put a price on that. That's the best.
And what happens, Jeff, if I'm a couple layers down in the organization and I know that you do that as a practice, I know that one day you're going to be sitting on a team within my department and you're going to see everything that's going on. That motivates me to make sure that shit's straight, mm-hmm. and that processes are in place and that expectations are set and there's more organization. It's just going to happen. You start doing that, people start expecting that at any point in time, Jeff is going to be in my department, sitting there, taking a look. I'm going to run my department a lot better than I would if you know, I didn't realize you were going to do that.
Uh-huh. And you create a culture of everybody being dug in. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a problem. You know what I'm going to do? Boom. I'm going to go. I'm going to grab my shovel. I'm going to pull up my stool, and I'm going to dig in and figure it out.
Yeah.
And you know what? We should talk about the fact this may rub some people the wrong way.
Totally.
It might.
Yeah, I mean, the manager that you're sitting with, it's like, oh, Bob, what the hell? What the hell's going on? Like,
I haven't seen you in a year.
Like, you have to handle it in the right way, right? You've got to build up the person that you're sitting with, build up the team, and try to, you know, put the positive spin on it. But, you know, there's times where you can also just call out stupid shit and make sure people aren't doing that again as well, right? Yeah. But the manager you're sitting with, the manager of that manager, as you're uncovering things that shouldn't be going on, yeah, that's not a hell of a lot of fun. And of course, some people aren't going to like it. But if you are doing that from the get-go and you never get away from it, then people are going to understand it's just part of your culture. And they're understanding that you are doing that just because you always want to be doing a great job for the client and for, you know, the people. Like, if things are going well, we're better for our people, then they're in a better spot down the road. And the company is in a better spot. So if people understand why you're doing it and you stay committed to it, that it'll be part of your culture and then they'll be bought in.
That I think you hit on the unlock there, which is now it's a part of your culture. Mm-hmm. It's not weird when Scott comes and sits with a frontline manager and takes over the team. That's just Scott. That's part of our culture. And he's not coming here as a punishment at all. Quite the opposite. He's coming here to serve. Like, he's coming here to serve you and our people and our team. And you know what, Mr. or Mrs. Manager, it might suck for a minute. Like, it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel itchy. But at the end of that 30 days, you're going to know a lot more than you did at the beginning. You're probably going to be a different, better leader. And in 3 years, it's going to be, remember that time.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of those, remember that times when we're all going to be sitting around the table. Remember that time when Scott came over and he sat with me and we co-managed the team and we were in last place. And then 30 days later, we turned up to be in first place. And I learned more. This is what you'll hear every time. I learned more in that 30 days than I had learned in the years of experience I had prior to that. And I am a different leader today because of that 30 days.
Yeah. It's fun. It's actually fun.
It is.
Like, I want to slap my own face. I do, because of a couple of reasons. You know, we've been going through transition and putting management teams mm-hmm. in place, and we've had a lot of growth, and I haven't done that in a while. And I'm so pissed because it's what works better than anything else. I'm coming and I can't wait. I don't know which team it is.
Oh, boy.
And
it's great.
And I don't know. I just, it's the best way to have a pulse, to develop people, to spread vision, to know what we need to work on, to test processes. And, you know, we need to be doing it all the time. And every time that we may fall off it a little bit, because we told people we were going to talk about what not to do.
Right.
What you shouldn't do is come off of this. You should get into the business and never get out of it, because we've been out of it at different time periods. And I think that's when we have more turnover. That's when we're having a more difficult time growing. And when we're doing that kind of stuff, that's when we're doing this, people are more engaged. We're more successful. We're having more fun. And we need to figure out how to remind one another in the future that to be sticking close.
I'll tell you how in the recent past I've triggered myself to know that, oh, I forgot that I do this, and every time I do this, things are better and I should do this more, is when I'm, and this sounds silly to say, but I bet people out there have experienced this, you're kind of looking around almost like, my day's kind of empty a little bit. I could fill it with meetings if I want, but that's not the right solution. What should I be doing with my time? That's the moment where you should go, oh, don't go out, go in. Go now. You know what I'm going to do with my time? I'm going to spend 20% of my time, I'm going to talk to customers. I'm going to spend 20% of my time, I'm going to be shadowing leaders. I'm going to be doing skip levels, meaning I'm going to be doing regular meetings with directors and managers and frontline team members. That's when you know, okay, I don't go out, go in.
Yeah. You know, for me, I'm in the meetings, and then you start having these meetings, you start hearing some things.
Yeah.
Like, well, this is, you know, salaries all over the country are X, or everybody's got 100% remote. Mm-hmm. So that's what people want. If they don't have 100% remote, they don't, you know, want to be. You just start hearing these things four layers up, and then you just start accepting, right?
Yep.
As opposed to, that kind of causes me, I think, over time to to get in, it's like, yeah, I don't know about that.
Right.
Like, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, when you get suspended, when you start hearing stuff, yeah, you go, it's like, everyone is doing this.
Yeah, okay. Right. It's like, we were just talking about this. Like, if we don't have 100% remote, we won't retain anyone. Well, what about the fact that 28% of the U.S. population has been turned over at least once in the last 2 years because companies made, like, bad decisions and they didn't have themselves in a spot where they were protected and they had to lay people off? By the way, we didn't, you know, pop through COVID where we could have laid off 32 people and we didn't, right? We've set our company up and we're in industries and we're set up in a way that it's safe. We're not going to do layoffs. We're always growing. We've got, you know, 20 plus career tracks, 40 different positions. People can literally recreate themselves underneath one roof. You could double your salary in a year if you want. You could start a fucking company with us if you want. We're open to a lot of things as long as you're working hard and you're positive. And you're going to have me believing that because someone can't work from home 5 days a week, they have no interest in being here? Bullshit. Like, what's the real problem? Because someone that is a remote worker, if they were so bought into what we're doing and understanding where we're going and what that could look like for them, their ass would come in the office 5 days a week. Like, unless it's just not physically possible.
Right.
So that's not the issue. That's not the issue. The issue is, does somebody understand what we're all about, where we're going, where we're growing, where they could go, what it means to them, how important it is to the customer, why people in the office might need to, a couple of days a week, hear how good they are at doing certain things so those people could learn from them. There's just a lot more to the story. And if you're getting in the weeds a little bit and locking arms and engaging, then you're just going to know what's really going on.
Yep.
Just couldn't recommend doing it anymore.
Because then when people bring you stuff, this is the positive 2 months down the road, and people go, this is what the people think.
Yeah.
You have no choice but to trust them once right. that's told to you, unless you're down in the weeds and go, wait a minute, I was just there. I talked to 120 people.
Yeah,
That is not the case. That's not what I'm. Yeah. That's not what I've experienced.
And you know what happens over time.
Oh, yeah.
The same person you're meeting with is like, well, I know Jeff's going to, like, I know Jeff's going to go sit on a team, so I'm just going to tell him reality.
Yep.
I'm not going to just say, well, this is the way it is and it's how it has to be. I'm going to say, I may say this is the way it is. Here's some other things that are going on. Here's what I think we can do about it. Because they know, you're going to know as well. You guys both have a window into it. It's not coming through three layers to you.
Another benefit here for the people who are on the team or on the sales call or part of the shadow that you go into as a leader, great opportunity for them. Great opportunity for them. A, to sort of network in the organization. No two ways about it. Just is what it is. B, to learn.
Mm-hmm.
But C, I got to tell you, every time I do this, I find a top performer, diamond in the rough type of individual who's awesome. And I'm going, wait a minute, I didn't even know about her. She is a stud. This person's going places, and I didn't even know it. Yeah. And I look back on those experiences, and those people are now in the leadership meetings they're the leaders that need to go dive in. That's a cool thing.
It's talent search. And not everybody, especially if they're a young leader, has the ability to eyeball those gems.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. So you're right. Every single time I've done it, I was like, holy crap, that person's good.
Yeah.
Like, that person's better than someone two levels up. Like, that's exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, that's actually just as important as anything else.
Yeah. Well, we missed Eric, safe to say.
We did. He's feeling a little under the weather, so we wish him well.
We hope we did him proud.
We did. We missed him in this conversation for sure.
We try to leave people with takeaways, oftentimes five of them. Eric can remember five. I'm not that good. So I have one. I have but one takeaway from this show.
Yes.
Can I tell you what it is?
Yeah.
As CEOs, presidents, as leaders of organizations, companies, and divisions, spend a lot more time working in the business than on the business. That's the takeaway.
Love it.
How do we do?
Let's grow.
Let's grow. Until next time, always be growing.
Always be growing.
Thanks for listening to The Grow Show. Leave us a review and let us know how we're doing, or if there's a topic you'd like us to cover in the future.
The Grow Show is sponsored by Sapper Consulting. Let us schedule your sales appointments so you don't have to. Abstract Cloud Solutions, leveraging the power of the Salesforce platform to solve complex business problems with straightforward solutions.